ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. Thanks for joining us tonight. Thank you so much for believing in us, for your belief and trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. And I'm sure we are sure, Joe and I and Eric the tech, we were talking right before the show. Everyone's got to be just like yanking their hair out from this election. When is it going to end? It's never going to end.
Well, it's going to end, and it's going to end sooner than later, thankfully.
Ah, folks, we broadcast live. That's each and every weeknight from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time right here on the Global Star Radio Network. Thank you so much, Global Star, for carrying our program. You know, they don't have to do that, right? They can say, hey, we don't like you. You're really a pain in the butt. We're not going to. But no, thank you so much, Global Star Radio Network. And we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio Network. That's BTR. Proud to be part of that organization as well. And you can watch us live and in living color. Don't adjust your sets on our official YouTube channel, YouTube Live. That's right. And you can watch us via archive there as well. Archive via BTR and, of course, on Global Star. Don't forget, we've got two different websites. One for the show. That's Hagman and Hagman.com. There you can watch us live, and you can. That's just dedicated to the show. Hagman and Hagman.com. But HagmanReport.com, that's where you got to go. That's right, for all of your information.
News. Content. And,
that's right.
It's a site. You don't just have to check it in the morning. Check it multiple times as it changes throughout the day.
That's right. Yes,
we update it. You update it when you get up at 2:30 in the morning.
I'm trying to beat Steve Quayle. You know, I'm trying to beat him.
I've been throwing a few stories up there before I go to bed, like late at night, just to try to beat you to the punch sometimes.
Well, I want to thank Rhonda too, and thank JD. JD's just a workhorse man, creative evangelist. JD, he's the man in our deep south. He's carrying up the he's got our southern he's got our six. Right? Anyway, folks, portions of tonight's program brought to you by a company. I just love this company. I really do. Wink. Have you heard of Wink? Try Wink. That's try, TRYWINC. That's trywink.com/Hagman. Oh, man. Well, what a great company. That's trywink, TRYWINC.com/Hagman. What this is a wine club. Now, you know, we love to have Sunday dinners together with the family, get all the family over. And all of the adults, of course, we share a bottle of wine. It's really great. And Wink, trywink.com/Hagman. This is a wine club, and it's a very special wine club. It's really unique. There's really no commitment. You can join for free. You can skip any month, but it's a wine of the month club, and it's designated to your palate. So anyway, to your taste, your palate recommendations. More on that later. But Joe, so I was wrong last night. Yesterday, I was wrong. I thought the Hannity special, and I don't know how much you caught of this, but when Hannity had...
I don't have cable, so I didn't see what he had on TV.
Well,
he
didn't have to have cable. My thought was, Sean Hannity was going to have, the fixer, Mr. Fix-It, who was also called, referenced as, in the Inquirer, the hitman. A hitman. I thought it was going to be, the PI, Palladino. That's what I thought. But I was incorrect, actually. Totally incorrect. So you didn't see any of that, right?
No, I didn't. I read about it today, though.
Okay.
From some different news stories about what was said.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting. But from what I gathered, there was not a lot of new information.
No, but you know, I was watching. I watched it, and folks, what do you think? What those of you who saw it, what do you think? Some people will say, "Well, man, I was underwhelmed by this information." But so the identity of Mr. Fixit was not, of course, the PI, but turns out to be an author, writer for Tom Clancy, as well as, I mean, when I say author, I'm talking about a reporter, one of the media. So I was incorrect there, but having said all of that, when people say they were underwhelmed by it, you could tell that it was a real, I mean, this guy had the inside baseball, and it all started I shouldn't say it all started, but it really focused around Bill and Hillary's, Chelsea's wedding. Well, that had a big thing to do with it. The face of the Clinton insider, who is finally speaking out to tell everyone the truth about, of course, Bill and Hillary. And who'd it turn out to be? Well, more about this at the bottom of the hour after the break, only because I've got some information on this and it's going to be important to go through in detail. But leading off the program tonight, a couple of things. AIDS freaked over Obama server comments. Planned to get away with that. That's trending on Drudge Report right now. And of course, that's a reference to what Obama said about Hillary Rodham Clinton's servers.
Yeah, for those of you who remember, Obama was asked a while back when the email scandal first broke when he learned about Hillary using private servers. And he responded by saying he learned about it on the news, on TV, like everybody else. Well, there have already been emails that have shown that the president had emailed Clinton directly to an email address that was not a .gov address. But now it's come out that not only did he do that, he lied about it on TV and did so knowingly. It wasn't, you know, he didn't make a misstatement. He just outright lied. And as you see on Drudge right now, AIDS freaking out over Obama's server comments. And right underneath it's another story. Planned to get away with it. Clinton advisor says they wanted to get away with it. They wanted to cover it up. And those aren't the words on the story here. Clinton advisor, they wanted to get away with it on private email setup. It was the quote that is used.
And it's coming out more and more that this was a conspiracy, a criminal conspiracy. A criminal conspiracy by definition, and that included Obama and Hillary Clinton. Am I right with you're seeing?
This article from Politico talks about how the story broke about Hillary Clinton's use of a private email account over a year ago. The head of a pro-Clinton think tank complained that the secretary Clinton's inner circle only exacerbated the controversy, which would go on to dog her entire presidential campaign.
Oh,
that's
man.
It, according to a hacked email by WikiLeaks. In the exchange, Center for American Progress President Neera Tanden complained that incoming Clinton campaign chairman John Podesta...
A lot of stuff on her. Go ahead.
That the Clinton lawyer and former State Department Chief of Staff Cheryl Mills had allowed the email situation to fester to the point where it became a liability to Clinton's presidential bid. Then they go into the email into the emails and the exchanges. And
all right, stop right there, because right before the show, you said what about the emails?
Well, are you talking about the deleted emails?
The deleted emails.
Okay. A WikiLeaks news release says that Kim.com hints that deleted emails will be released tomorrow, October 26th, on Hillary's birthday. Now, that's just something from WikiLeaks news. There's no story. It's something that's out on WikiLeaks and on Twitter. But it was posted at 6:52 p.m., and apparently they're going to, if what they're saying is true, they're going to be releasing part, some, or all of the deleted emails.
Okay. Now, this is a good setup for what I'm about to say, and Joe and I spoke before the program, and there are certain things that are trending. Now, Joe just disclosed that what's up on Kim.com and WikiLeaks, they're going to dump Hillary's deleted emails tomorrow on her birthday. Okay.
Now, hopefully this is not somebody blowing smoke. Hopefully that this is what's really going to happen. There's been a lot of letdowns, so to speak, from people saying that, you know, there's going to be videos of right. Hillary Clinton doing things or saying things that's going to ruin her campaign.
But you're talking about O'Keefe there, or intimating
right.
about O'Keefe.
And he has released videos that are very damaging to the campaign. And if it was anybody besides Clinton, they would probably be under indictment at the
That's
moment.
That's right.
And, so, okay. What we're seeing here is just, you know, the media continuing to be complicit in covering up Clinton's crimes. I mean, just the video that O'Keefe released about the violence, creating violence at Trump rallies, and you had the two people who were behind that were let go or stepped down.
Nothing to see here.
Where's the FBI? Where is the Department of Justice? Not only that, even worse than that, you have collusion between the Clinton campaign and super PACs. That is verifiably proven to be 100% fact.
But see, Joe,
and that's illegal.
The collusion with the super PACs was the issue. I was watching what was trending today in the news, and they were saying that collusion was absent. Okay.
The proof is right. Is there.
Exactly. And how crazy is this?
To further talk just about the media collusion, I saw an interesting video today. I did not try this myself, but somebody made a video where they opened a Google browser.
I saw that.
They typed in, you know, how do you vote for, and you know how Google uses, autocorrect? Autofill-in?
No, it's autofill-in, right? It's intuitive.
How to vote for, and it'll finish the sentence on, you know, the bar below it. Dancing with the Stars, or, you know. So, one of the first ones is how to vote for Hillary Clinton, and that came up without putting the H in there. So, it just came up, how to vote for, and then the first one underneath that, the first option was Hillary Clinton. Yeah. Then the guy goes in, and he types out the whole word Donald, and the whole word Trump, and nothing comes up. And obviously, you'd have to hit enter, then the results would come up. And then, interestingly enough, he goes a step further and shows articles about how the head of Google, Eric Schmidt, has been working with the Clinton campaign, and how Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, has been also helping with the Clinton campaign. And it's not just money donations that are being given as offered as support. It is these kind of tricks and shenanigans, even to the point of hiding analytics and search results. One thing that's like the rallies we see, you know, there was 30 people that showed up to a Tim Kaine rally today.
You know, to be fair, I think it was more than that. You got to look. Maybe there was.
Cut the press and cut the friends out.
Okay, then 30.
And then on the other side, you had 2,700 people turned away as people waited in line for 12 hours.
Well, my wife and I were talking about this, Joe.
The Donald Trump rally.
And
Google Analytics, the searches, you have people searching for, voting Donald Trump 3-1 over Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. And I don't know whether you took a ride. I know that you, I don't want to give away too much, but from our studio, oftentimes you'll run to the, like the 7-Eleven kind of store.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And we've got a couple within driving distance. And I had today, I had to run an errand from the studio to the store, actually to a home, store, Home Depot kind of place. And, I passed, I counted 4 Trump signs that were the size that I've got at my home.
Oh yeah, they're all over the place now.
Okay, I have never once seen, and I'm talking like a 6-foot by 12-foot sign.
I take a when I come to the studio from my house, there's one road I take to avoid lights because I could go down a few blocks and that's a main road with tons of lights, or up a few blocks, right, and the same deal. So I kind of go down some side roads. There was about 4 new ones that popped up this week. One of the ones was at a notary business that used to be on top of this fence. Now, it looked like,
I know where you're talking. Yep.
I think somebody destroyed it, because what they did is took it off the fence, built a wooden frame for it, and it's now basically encased in this big thing of wood with, you know, these huge support, these huge support columns.
I know exactly.
So I don't know what happened there. I doubt it blew away or blew over.
No, I think you're right. I think somebody did tear after it. But
those signs are everywhere. They're the big ones.
But to me, what's taking place here, and I was talking to my wife about this, folks, 126, what they're saying is 126 electoral votes in the tank for Trump. 270 is needed. The press is really painting this dire picture for a certain Hillary Clinton win. I am seeing, and I'm getting email threads, and I want to say something. Greg Jackson, if you're listening, God bless you, my friend. God bless you, Greg Jackson.
He always listens.
And if you're listening while walking, Gunner, you know, give him a scratch on the head for me. The divisiveness that's being caused, but I guess I didn't. I kind of.
You were talking about the big Trump signs.
The Trump signs. The people I've been speaking with, the people that I've been hearing via email from, all of this, it's all Trump. I mean, it's amazing to me. So when you click on the mainstream media, whether it's Fox News, even Fox News or MSNBC or CNN, they're all saying, "Well, Trump is down." The polls are, you know, are very much in favor of Hillary.
And NBC actually had to walk back after some of the information about how media should use and skew polling numbers came out via WikiLeaks. NBC had to walk back their headline that Hillary Clinton had a 12-point lead over Donald Trump and put it down to 1. After that, they were showed how they oversampled Democrats and independents compared to Republicans.
And I found in the email pack 13, I believe it is. I left the notes in my office. I didn't think I was going to be talking about this. Either 13, 14, or 15, the email release from Podesta. Inside, and I don't know if this was reported on or not, there was a PowerPoint presentation on the polls, on Hillary and the polls. It was from a professional polling or professional pollster or PR company. I don't know what you call those people, folks, but all I can tell you is the email itself and the information itself, by itself, looking at it, it was rather innocuous. But in the context of skewing poll numbers, it read to me, you know how you can't really get the context sometimes from an email what the intent might be. Just looked to me like the intent here was to manage the poll numbers in favor of Hillary, to make it so, or to demoralize and to keep Trump supporters at home or the conservatives at home. And there's something with Ryan here too. I don't believe Ryan and Pence were trying to engage in some sort of coup.
I saw this. Yeah. There was a website set up.
Yeah.
Ryan Pence 2016.
I think that was, I don't, I, look, just from my research, And I don't know. I could be very wrong on this, as I was wrong last night with the PI. It turned out to be Jeff Rovin, Mr. Fix-It, but I could be wrong about this. I think that's just BS. I think that's internal divisiveness. I don't think Ryan Pence, 2016. In other words, what we're saying, folks, is there was a release of an email, but I didn't find it in the Podesta or in the I didn't find it anywhere within the official WikiLeaks releases. There was this Ryan Pence website that was supposedly mm-hmm. set up, and some email communication with Mike Pence to
it was supposedly
ditch Trump and
set up right around the time of that audio of Trump was released.
Yeah,
and they asked him to step down.
I'm not so sure about the authenticity / legitimacy of that email or of that whole story. But having said all of that, the polling numbers are being massaged and managed by the Clinton campaign, by the DNC, by Donna Brazile, by these people, you know, behind this push for globalism. And it's, as you've seen, ladies and gentlemen, and I know, I bet you if I ask, if you and I, Joe, sat down with all the people that are listeners, I would say 90% of the listeners have seen and experienced divisiveness within their families, within their jobs, within their social circles.
Yeah,
about this election, and even Christians, and especially Christians. I cannot believe what I'm seeing from Christians. I can't. You know.
There was articles that talked about how stress levels over this election have been raised in all different age groups and brackets, from older people to the younger generations, and you've had more sleepless nights, you've had more headaches, anxiety, things of that nature they were talking about. And that really would come with any election, but this is just
kind of like reliving the years when you were a teenager in the Hagman household.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are coming up against the break. I know you wanted to hit on
I still do.
Few things, but before we go to the break, I want to hit this story. And it's interesting because every time I'm going to this website, I get to read the story, then it says suspicious website, but it's blacklistednews.com, which is very...
it's suspicious, all right.
But I think it's the content that is important, that does not want people, they don't want people to get this out there. And I posted a story about this on the website earlier today. I don't know how many people have been following what's been happening in Mosul. Over 60 civilians have been killed, at least 200 injured, during 3 days of U.S.-led airstrikes on residential areas in Mosul. Numerous attacks of the U.S.-led coalition targeting residential areas.
This is horrific.
It's a girl's school. A girl's school was bombed by the United States in Mosul today. And there it goes again. Suspicious webpage
blog. Well, you know something? We're on the wrong side of this. And this does, not to belabor the point, but it does, it relates directly to Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin. That's the State Department, but even deeper than that. Are you okay with that? Can you continue with Mosul? I mean, or are you still having trouble there?
I went to our site, HagmanReport.com, and I'm going to get a link from our site. But it's interesting that we see, you know, there is a lot going on with 2 weeks until the presidential election. You have a lot of news going on, a lot of stuff in the election cycle, a lot of stuff with the WikiLeaks, a lot of stuff with Russia. You have Obamacare news. But what's not being talked about is what is happening in Iraq.
That's right.
And they are saying that Mosul is a ISIS territory, or it's a battle.
It's actually a stronghold of ISIS.
Now, I've heard a couple different theories about this. One, I'm reading on comment sections and message boards. Some of it was Russian. I had to get some of the comments translated. But Russia citizens or people who are commenting on this article or articles were saying that the U.S. is actually destroying evidence that they were helping aid ISIS in Iraq, that this was not a fight against ISIS, that they were bombing different locations that basically left trails of evidence showing that they, you know, were cooperating with ISIS and trying to get them support. But that's speculation. The article on Russia Today talks about the battle for Mosul continues and the civilians are the ones being killed. Over 60 civilians have been killed and 200 injured during the 3 days of U.S.-led coalition airstrikes. There were numerous attacks of the U.S.-led coalition targeting residential areas, schools, and other civilian objects, both in Mosul and in other parts of the Iraqi governorate. That according to the head of operations in the Russia General Staff. We're closely monitoring the situation around Mosul. So far, we see no substantial progress in liberating this city from the terrorist of ISIS, he added, referring to the terror organization Islamic State by its former name. According to the Russian military, among the civilian objects hit by U.S.-led coalition airstrikes was a school for girls in southern Mosul, which was attacked last Friday. And there is a lot of new information as the story continues to be updated, as the body count continues to rise. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Tuesday edition. We're going to be right back with our second segment in this first hour, followed by an hour two, Greg Manarino. He's an economist. He's going to be joining us. And then hour three, we're going to be joined, as we are each and every Tuesday, by Stan Dale.
So, and we want to thank John Robertson as well, setting this up for with Greg. God bless you, my friend, John Robertson. Linked off of HagmanReport.com for his website. Doug Hagman at the helm, film investigator, researcher Joe Hagman, my son, together. Something I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. You can catch us on our social networking sites as well, at Hagman Report on Twitter, Hagman Report on Facebook, and then Doug Hagman, Douglas Hagman, that is mine, on Facebook. And there you'll find the lady, the studio dog. She's got a lot to say as well. And speaking of a lot to say, you know, the cooler months are coming. You may be sitting around a fire. You want to get away from, maybe you want to get away from current events, the election hassle, the news that hit you so hard, and get into fiction. But maybe you just don't want to get too far away from the topics, that is. I've got a great solution for you. T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. I call this a faction as well. It's entertaining, it's informative, and it's inspiring. This man is a masterful writer. What it is, it's a thrilling series of novels, and in this thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families in a world where conspiracy theories and Bible prophecies collide. His novels move through recent history, right to the current events that are just on the horizon. He's got a really witty style of writing, and fascinating characters, all to provide a great read for you. Not only will will everybody who reads his books love these books, but they can be a great tool as well to awaken friends and family members to the perilous times we face. Rave reviews, Kirkus reviews, they state that readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Ink Reviews calls this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Folks, get your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series on Amazon.com today. Amazon.com today. You gotta really get this. I love these books, and I'm not a fan of fiction as it relates to current events, but these are done so well, quite engaging. Book one is Precipice. Book two, Pentecost. And a soon-to-be-released book three, Penance. That's T.C. Joseph's This Generation series of novels. Now, Joe, you know, before the break, you were talking about Mosul. You were talking about all of these things taking place. We were talking about the election We're talking about a number of things. Lori from Florida wrote in and wanted to, she wrote into us here on the studio email, basically make sure that people catch Trey Smith, who we had on here last week, his latest video about Hillary Clinton. Now, I have not seen it yet. Have you?
No.
You must have just done this.
No, I haven't seen it.
Thank you, Lori, by the way, from Florida.
Yep, I'll definitely be watching it later tonight or tomorrow, because he does do a great job of breaking down information.
He does. All right, so what you had set up earlier about about ISIS, Iraq, where we are today, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. I do have a report coming out. Folks, Huma Abedin, she is, of course, the current vice chairwoman of Hillary Clinton of the Clinton campaign, 2016 Clinton campaign. Huma Abedin. Now, folks, you know who I'm talking about, correct? Huma Abedin, the longtime assistant to Hillary Clinton, the wife of former Congressman Anthony Weiner, the longtime, well, you've seen her. Anywhere you see Hillary, you see Huma Abedin. Do you really know who she is? If we have a Hillary presidency, Huma will...
She'll be the first lady.
That first lady. You're thinking... You're right. It's a good one. I would suspect maybe chief of staff or special, some special assistant, but she's going to have a lot of power and influence in the West Wing if Hillary Clinton does prevail on this. But everyone really needs to understand, I believe, the threat, my perception of the threat to Huma Abedin based on research, extensive and intensive research that I've conducted. And this also involves some of the Podesta emails, and we are watching for, folks, just to remind you from last half hour, last segment, we are looking for additional emails to be released tomorrow, perhaps the deleted Hillary Rodham Clinton emails. And it's not the Russians, by the way, that were behind this. I believe if there is a state actor behind this, truthfully, I believe it would be some element within the CIA or NSA that's doing this. And the reason I mention this, and you might ask, well, wait a minute, I thought you know, CIA bad. No, I think that there are criminal elements, criminal cabals within the CIA and such, but there are also very patriotic men and women working for the CIA and NSA that don't agree with what's going on and are fighting back, and this is one way through disclosure. So I believe that to be the case. But getting back to Huma Abedin, go back to our bicentennial year, back 1976, July 28th, 1976. Huma Abedin was born in Kalamazoo, Michigan, to Saeed Abedin, who was an Indian-born scholar, and Saleha Abedin, her mother. Now, her father passed away in 1993, so her mother is still alive. Her mother is Saleha Mahmoud Abedin, and she's a sociologist known for her very strong advocacy of Sharia law. And Huma's mother, Saleha, and Hillary Clinton have had meetings upon meetings and have met with each other, with one another, throughout Hillary's and Huma's relationship, personal and professional relationship, even during Hillary's tenure in the State Department. Saleha, Huma's mother, is a member of the Muslim Sisterhood, which is the female component of the Muslim Brotherhood, or the Muslim Brotherhood's Division for Women. She's also a board member of the International Islamic Council for Dawah and Relief. Now, this is a pro-Hamas entity, which is part of the Union of Good, which the U.S. government has formally designated as a terrorist organization, one that's led by the Muslim Brotherhood luminary, Yusuf al-Qaduri. Okay, now, think about this. Well, let me give you some more background on Huma. And again, I'm compiling a report on this. When Huma was just 2 years old, living in Michigan, her family picked up and moved to Saudi Arabia, to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Now, this took place, this move took place when Abdullah Omar Nassif, a very high-ranking Muslim Brotherhood figure who served as the vice president of Abdul Aziz University, recruited Huma's father, also a member of AU, the Abdul Aziz University, to work for the Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs, which was a Saudi-based, or is a Saudi-based, think tank that Huma's, or that, I'm sorry, that Abdullah Omar Nassif was preparing to launch. Now, sometime later, Nassif would develop extremely close ties to guess who? Osama bin Laden and the terrorist group Al-Qaeda. So you've got just an arm's length of how close is this? Huma Abedin, her father, and Omar Nassif, who's part of the Muslim Brotherhood. And Nassif is actually a supporter of bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. In the early 1980s, I should point out, Nassif spent time as Secretary General of the Muslim World League. And much has been written about the Muslim World League by journalist and former federal prosecutor Andrew McCarthy. Now, I look at Andrew McCarthy as being one of the foremost experts on Islamic terrorism, of course, as a federal prosecutor, now a journalist. And McCarthy had stated that the Muslim World League has long been the Muslim Brotherhood's principal vehicle for the international propagation of Islamic supremacist ideology. Now, just to tell you something about Huma's mother. Huma's mother advocates, is a great advocate of Sharia law. Huma Abedin's mother is okay with female genital mutilation. Huma Abedin's mother also believes that the female must be subjugated by the male in any marriage. Now, folks, Huma Abedin's mother has this ideology. And Huma herself has a very close relationship with her mother, as does Hillary Clinton, who has met with Huma's mother on numerous occasions. Do we need to really say much more than this? Seriously? This is what you will, by voting or not voting in this election, or by voting for a non-viable third party candidate, or not, or if you're a Christian out there, you're voting for your own demise, I believe, if you don't support a Trump in this case. That's my belief. The incestuous, what Huma Abedin represents with respect to the Muslim sisterhood through her family connections and the ties to Al-Qaeda, and then Hillary Clinton's ties to Huma and her mother and their ties to Al-Qaeda, Nassif, all of this in Saudi Arabia is incredible. Hillary Clinton, or I should say the Clinton Foundation, received $25 million from Saudi Arabia. The Clinton Foundation received, by their own reporting, $25 million from Saudi Arabia. And I believe it, and I have to verify this through one other source, but I believe 20% of the Clinton presidential campaign has been financed by Saudi Arabia. Did you hear that? Anyway,
the donations made to the Clinton Foundation by Saudi Arabia, by Qatar, totaling, I think, the last count during the last round of donations, $13 million. And I think that's the widely underreported.
It becomes a question:
And then the money's been funneled to the campaign through the shell corporations, which is a gross violation of election laws. So
right, correct.
And
yes.
In return for that, you know, we hear about the pay-to-play schemes that Hillary Clinton had going in the State Department right after an $8 million donation to the Clinton Foundation. She turns around and gets Saudi Arabia a $500 million weapons deal from the United States.
And, you know, Clinton Cash, the book Clinton Cash, details a lot of this information. It's an encyclopedia-like resource about the Clinton Foundation. And yes, I mean, this to me, the Clinton Foundation, it's a criminal enterprise. I totally agree with Donald Trump on this. It's a criminal enterprise. It's a money laundering enterprise. It is difficult for me to believe that the press has turned a blind eye to this, because along with Huma Abedin and their ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, of course, Saudi Arabia, terrorist groups, this is a betrayal of allegiance, a betrayal of the United States, and certainly no friend to Christians in the United States or worldwide. Now, with Huma, when she was 18, her family moved back to the United States. She attended George Washington University. In 1996, she began working as an intern in the Bill Clinton White House. I wonder how that worked out. I wonder if she met Monica there. Anyway, she was assigned to actually the First Lady Hillary Rodham Clinton during her internship. So she was eventually hired as an aide to Hillary and worked for her ever since, even through her senatorial term in New York in 2000 and 2006, during her failed presidential bid in 2008. So Huma has been by Hillary, by her side, ever since 1996. And from 97 until sometime in early 1999, while still interning at the White House, she became an executive, or was an executive board member of George Washington University's Muslim Students Association, MSA, heading up their organization's social committee. So, I should say as well that in 2001-2002, right after Huma Abedin left that executive board at George Washington University's Muslim Students Association, the chaplain and spiritual guide of that of GW's MSA was none other than Anwar al-Awlaki, the al-Qaeda operative who ministered to some of the men who were among the 9/11 hijackers. You know Anwar al-Awlaki, folks. Another chaplain at George Washington University's MSA from sometime around October of 99 through April 2002 was Mohammed Omish. He headed the International Islamic Relief Organization, which has ties to the funding of al-Qaeda, or had ties to al-Qaeda. His brother, Issam, headed the Muslim American Society, which is the Muslim Brotherhood's quasi-official branch in the United States, and both of these guys were closely associated with al-Amudi, who would later be convicted and incarcerated on terrorism charges. Now, from 96 to 08, 2008, Abedin was employed by the Institute of Minority Affairs as the assistant editor of its publication, the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs, which is JMMA. At least the first seven of those years between 96 and 08, they overlapped with the al-Qaeda-affiliated Abdullah Omar Nassif's active presence at the Institute of Muslim Minority Affairs. Now, Huma's last 6 years at the Institute, that's through 2008, were spent as the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs editorial board, as an editorial board member there. For one of those years, and specifically in 2003, Nassif and Huma Abedin served together on that board. So there is absolute direct connections between Huma Abedin and Abdullah Omar Nassif, at least in 2003, but for much longer. Now, during that time and throughout that entire period, Huma Abedin remained a close aide to Hillary Clinton during her 08 presidential primary campaign. A profile of Abedin described her as a trusted advisor to Hillary Clinton, especially on issues pertaining to the Middle East. Folks, there's something horrifically wrong, and I think that this is very specific information that people need to understand. When Clinton was appointed as Obama's Secretary of State back in 09, Huma Abedin became her Deputy Chief of Staff. She was still on the Journal of Muslim Minority Affairs masthead until the day after her appointment as Clinton's Chief of Staff, Deputy Chief of Staff. So, Hillary Clinton, or at least Huma Abedin, or at least her mother, attempted to hide that relationship. Now, apart from their working relationship, Huma Abedin and Mrs. Hillary Rodham Clinton have developed a very close personal bond, as we have seen in Clinton's 2010 speech, I guess, saying that I have one daughter, but if I had a second daughter, it would be Huma. Kind of like Obama. You know, if I had a son, he'd look like whoever. Like, I don't specifically recall who he was talking to. Trayvon Martin. There you go. Thank you. Now, Huma married Anthony Weiner on July 10th of 2010.
That's, what a marriage that was.
Yeah, and you know who officiated? And I didn't know this, but that was officiated by Bill Clinton. And a number of analysts have noted that it's very rare for Islamic women, especially for those whose families have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, to marry non-Muslims like Anthony Weiner, who's Jewish, by the way. Go figure that one out. Okay, so and a number of Islamic scholars declared that Huma's marriage to Weiner was actually null and void under the dictates of Sharia law, which forbids marriage between a Muslim woman and an infidel. Now, Huma Abedin went on maternity leave after giving birth to a baby boy in December of 2011. She returned to work in June 2012. The State Department granted her an arrangement. Now listen to this, that allowed her to earn outside income as a private consultant, even as she remained a top advisor in the Department of State. Now this arrangement was made possible when Hillary personally signed off on documents, and these documents were dated March 23rd, 2012, that changed Huma Abedin's title from Deputy Chief of Staff to Special Government Employee. Now, Huma's outside clients included the U.S. Department of State itself. Not much of a conflict of interest, do you think? But this is all, and Hillary Clinton, as well as the Clinton Foundation, were Huma Abedin's clients. Antenio, which is a New York-based global advisory firm co-founded by Doug Band, who is mentioned in the Podesta emails. And much of this can be, I shouldn't say much, I've seen a lot of this references, these references in the Podesta emails, yet this is not coming out. Doug Band was a former counselor for Bill Clinton, by the way. But here's something that everyone needs to really pay attention to. Huma Abedin did not disclose on her financial report either the special employment arrangement or the $135,000 that she earned from it, and that's in violation of a law, a federal law, that mandates that public officials reveal significant sources of income, which would certainly show a conflict of interest. In fact, her title change did not become public knowledge until May of 2013. My goodness, over a year later. Conflict of interest written all over this. Judicial Watch played a large role in this. They filed a FOA, Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that showed both before and after Hillary Clinton signed off on the special employment deal for Abedin in March of 2012, Huma repeatedly, for months and months and months, dodged State Department requests that she disclosed financial, was required to disclose financial and employment information about her husband, Anthony Weiner, who had left Congress amid personal scandals back in June of 2011. A lot of this was carried in the UK. In fact, the Daily Mail carried much of this. And here's the coup de grace, in my view. You talk about the Uniparty. In June of 2012, five Republican lawmakers. Michelle Bachmann was one. Sent letters to the inspectors general at the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Justice, the State Department, asking that they investigate whether the Muslim Brotherhood was gaining undue influence over the U.S. government officials. One letter noting that Huma Abedin's position with Hillary Clinton affords her routine access to policymaking, expressed concern over the fact that Huma had three family members, her late father, her mother, and her brother connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, their operatives, and or their organizations. What I mentioned before about the coup de grace, the Uniparty, guess who objected? Guess said, oh, no, don't worry about it. John McCain, John Boehner, and several other Republicans said, oh, don't worry about it. It's interesting because it was on February 1st, 2013, when Hillary, it was her final day as Secretary of State, Huma Abedin resigned her post as Clinton's Deputy Chief of Staff, yet she would continue to stay on with Clinton. And on March 1st, 2013, Huma was tapped to run Clinton's post-State Department transition team comprised of a six-person transition office located in D.C. Now, in early March of last year, it was reported that during the entire four-year tenure as Secretary of State, Hillary never acquired or used any government email account, instead transmitting, in violation of government law, government regulations, all of her official government correspondence via personal email account that was housed on a private server. Now, Huma, Hillary, Cheryl Mills, they all had email addresses on this secret covert server while employed at the State Department. And after Hillary's announcement in the spring of 2015 that she was running for president in 2016, Huma was named the vice chair of her campaign. Folks, it gets deep, even deeper than what I just mentioned. Huma's sister, for example, Heba, is an assistant editor with the Journal, where she served alongside Huma prior to Huma's departure. Her brother, Hassan, has direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. Folks, again, we've been infiltrated, captured. This is a captured operation. Giving you some insight into a report soon to be published, hopefully tomorrow, working on it now. And Joe and I have both been looking at the emails and all of the reports as I just provided to you.
Coming up next is Gregory Manorino. He's an independent trader, financial analyst. His website is traderschoice.net. He also maintains a YouTube channel and updates it on a regular basis. We're going to be right back with Gregory Manorino right after this. Stay with us.